Psalm 111 is where we want to look this morning. Psalm 111. It's as if the call to worship and the exhortation were just linked together somehow. So let's look at Psalm 111 here. Praise the Lord. I will praise the Lord with my whole heart in the assembly of the upright and in the congregation. The works of the Lord are great, studied by all who have pleasure in them. His work is honorable and glorious, and his righteousness endures forever. He has made his wonderful works to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion. He has given food to those who fear him. He will ever be mindful of his covenant. He has declared to his people the power of his works in giving them the heritage of the nations. The works of his hands are verity and justice. All his precepts are sure. They stand fast forever and ever and are done in truth and uprightness. He has sent redemption to his people. He has commanded his covenant forever. Holy and awesome is his name. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all those who do his commandments. His praise endures forever. Amen. This is God's word. Well, we've been looking at the Psalms in the last couple weeks as we confess our sins, and one of the purposes of looking at the Psalms is to give you fuel for your praise, because we often come into worship and we have a little bit of a fire going, a little bit of some embers, but they need stoking, they need kindling, and the Psalms give us exactly what we need in that regard to remind us of what God has done and the reasons that we ought to praise him. And verse 2 is what I'd like to focus on here. The works of the Lord are great, studied by all who delight in them. God's works are great, brothers and sisters. We live in a majestic theater every day. We see his works. The question is, do we meditate upon them? Do we ponder them, and then do we praise? Do we delight in them? Now, it says here that the works of the Lord are great, studied by all who have pleasure in them. We will meditate and ponder something. We will think about things. You will have an object of study. The question is, what is your object of study? There are some objects of study available to you that are very depressing, very discouraging. You could study the works of man. You could spend all week doing that. What are the latest accomplishments of the city of man? What have the scientists done? What have the world governments accomplished? What have the greatest writers produced? What has Hollywood produced? You could study the works of man, or you could study the works of the evil one. How many more people are in bondage to addictions? How many more school shootings have happened? How many more people are committing suicide? All of these kinds of statistics could be brought upon us, and we could just study the works of the evil one. We might think the evil one is progressing. He's accomplishing his works. And you've probably noticed the news media is very good at showcasing these two kinds of works. They excel at putting at the headlines the works of the evil one and the works of men. They're far more interested in presenting these things. And it's very depressing. You get these you get these messages that the sea is rising, the temperatures are increasing, and despite all that the governments are doing, there's really no way that they can solve this ecological disaster that's coming. No one seems to be able to do anything about the school shootings. Who can stop these things? It's all hopeless. Now, you've never heard the evening news conclude this way. Now, dear viewers, despite everything we've just showcased for the last 8 hours, we don't want your hearts to be troubled. Ultimately, everything is going to work out for good because Jesus has risen from the dead and has overcome sin and death. Have you ever heard the news media end the evening broadcast that way? That's how we present these things, brothers and sisters. We can conclude these things. We can look at the news and say, you know what? It's okay because God is in control. Jesus is reigning and he's taking all of his enemies and he's putting them under his footstool. And so I exhort you to focus your meditations upon the great works of the Lord. Don't focus on these other things. Do you want hope? Do you want encouragement? Do you want to be thrilled by something that is far more amazing? Then look at the works of the Lord. And we can look at all different kinds of works that the Lord does. Firstly, I would encourage you to look at God's amazing work of creation. Behold his creation. We are to delight in these things and to study them and to be in awe of God's creation. There is such a blindness to God's glory in this fallen world. People are not amazed by these things as they should be, but we above all people should be in awe of every aspect of God's creation. We've seen this blindness many times. I'm sure you've seen it. I often see it on airplanes. You've seen the numbness that people have to the glory of God when you're on an airplane and nobody seems to care about what's going on outside of the airplane, what they could see. A couple months ago, as I was returning from Seattle to Denver, it was early in the morning, 6 a.m., and we were flying back, and we passed Mount Rainier, covered in snow. We were dangling right on top of it practically, right next to it, and we could see it, and yet almost nobody's looking at it. They're studying a 5-inch screen when they could be studying a hundreds of miles wide vista of beauty and glory. They don't care. They don't see. How is it that the works of man contained in a 5 inches of screen is more impressive than the glory of God in this incredible mountain? And so we above all then cannot be numb to these realities. We cannot be dead to the glory that is around us. We must praise, we must observe, we must ponder and meditate upon the great works of the Lord. Secondly, we must also meditate on God's great works of providence and redemption, the things that he provides for his people and how he saves his people. And that's what the rest of the psalm points to, verse 6. He has declared to his people the power of his works in giving them the heritage of the nations. Verse 9, he has sent redemption to his people. He has commanded his covenant forever. Holy and awesome is his name. So we will find hope when we look to God's saving works, how he is fixing all of these broken things that we see around us. Have you seen the work of God's grace in your heart? Have you seen your pride crushed, humility cultivated in your life? Are you seeing your appetites and desires being transformed from these ungodly things to the loving righteousness? Have you seen God's grace in the lives of your family members? Your husband growing, your children praying, your parents confessing, your wife giving more and more to others. Have you seen these things taking place in your family? Then this is God's great works. This is what you need to behold. Have you seen God's work in the body of Christ coming to pass? Have you seen the Spirit of God moving? These are the things that we should praise God for. And so let me ask you this morning, where is your study time? What are you studying? I encourage you this morning as we continue to enter into worship to behold the works of God in his word, in the praises of his people. And so as we confess our sins this morning, we can confess that we're sometimes not very good students. We can meditate upon the wrong things. We can be drawn to the wrong things, and we can be blind at times to see what he has done. And so let us pray that he might enable us to see his great works. Let's pray. Our God and our Father, we praise you for your awesome works in this world. You, O Lord, have shown us your wonderful works in the creation, in your providence providing for your people, and in your saving work through your Son, Jesus Christ. Forgive us, Lord, for being numb or being blind to these things. Teach us, O Lord, to be good students, students who delight in your works and study them voraciously. Give us hope as we look to the things that will last into eternity rather than the works of men that perish and the works of the evil one that are also to perish. And we now take a moment to confess our own sins before the Lord.